Okay, we're starting here on the top of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Gemara is in the middle of discussing the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that despite the fact that Rabbi Shimon believes that a Yotzei Dofen is a full-fledged birth, that's only true when it comes to a human birth. But Moder Rabbi Shimon b'Kodoshim, when it comes to the issue of Kodoshim, Rabbi Shimon agrees, she'eino kadosh, that it's not kadosh, and that type of Yotzei Dofen is excluded from going on the Mizbeach. The Gemara then brought the machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon with regards to which items, when she'ola l'mizbeach, when they end up on the mizbeach, would you not take them down? Versus which items that if they end up on the mizbeach, would still require you to take them down? The distinction that was drawn for Rabbi Shimon was the difference between whether psulan b'kodesh or ain b'sulan b'kodesh. The distinction, Rashi says, has to do with those that the psul is generated by their coming to the Azara. Once in the Azara, that's when the psul happened. Otherwise, it's not considered to be psulan b'kodesh. Tosafot disagrees here and many other places, says that psulan b'kodesh is a question of whether this item could be mutar in some other instance. Is the psul only because of the fact that this animal is kodesh, would be kodesh? Otherwise, in chulin, we wouldn't have any issue with this animal. Or is the problem here much greater than just the issue of Kodesh? The problem is a problem even if the animal was not Kodesh. And so that's the distinction to draw between Psulan B'Kodesh, Psulan She'enu B'Kodesh. And on line 3 here we said, K'tanei Miha, in that list that was enumerated for Rabbi Shimon, Yotzei Dofen was one of the items where it says, Dilo, that you're not allowed to bring it to the Mizbeach, and if you do bring it, we force you to take it back down. Because it's not considered to be a birth for Kodesh. My love, Yotzei Dofen de Kodoshim. We're talking about Kodoshim here, so we assume that we're talking about a Yotzei Dofen of Kodoshim. And that would accord with Rabbi Yochanan's position in Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, by Kodoshim, Yotzei Dofen is a psul, is problematic. So Amar Rav Huna, Brei Rav Natan, look, Yotzei Dofen de Bechor. Tell you about the Yotzei Dofen of a Bechor. Bechor has to come pet the Rechem. It has to come through the Rechem. So if it doesn't come through the Rechem, it doesn't qualify. So Yotzei Dofen over there cannot be called a Peter Rechem. That's what we're speaking about here. Rabbi Shimon says Yotzei Dofen in the list that he's giving, that Yotzei Dofen is referencing a Bechor, because then we'd have Kedushat Bechor. On that, the Gemara says, Mi Peter Rechem Nafko. We learn that out straight from the Psukim. Why do I need additional pasuk to tell me that Peter Yotzei Dofen is problematic? Bechor, we know it has to be Peter Rechem. Elomai, Kodo Kodoshim. So now you're going to tell me that the Yotzei Dofen that's spoken about here by Rabbi Shimon is referencing a Yotzei Dofen of Kodoshim. Mi imo, imo nafka. That also we have a pasuk to learn out. We know that Bechor is not Kadosh when it does not come out Peter Rechem when it comes out Yotzei Dofen. We also know that Kodoshim are disqualified when they do not come out through the Rechem because of a Gzeira Shova between Kodoshim and Bechor. Because it says by Bechor, imo. And by Kodoshim, it says, Shibat Yamim Te'er Tachat Imo. Both times you have Imo, Imo. That Imo teaches us, Kodoshim also have a problem when it comes to Yotzei Dofen. Somewhere it says, Hi Mai. I can distinguish between the two. Iyamart Bishlamo de Kodoshim. If you tell me that the Yotzei Dofen in Rabbi Shimon's statement is about Kodoshim, I know that Tzrichei Terei Krai. Then I understand why you need to psukim. Had the Be'emat Chulim, the Udid, Derech Dofen. There's a possibility that the baby was born before any Kodesh was associated with it. A chulin animal gave birth through a cesarean section to a baby. And then the Akdasha, now you want to be Magdishit. So I need to know if that's okay. And then there's a second situation, which is Bechad, the Behemat Kochim, the Oli Derech Dofen. A situation in which a Behema is already Kodesh. The mother is Kodesh. And now she has a baby that is born Derech Dofen. So I want to know also if that is disqualified. So there are two times or two manifestations of Yotzei Dofen when it comes to Kodeshim, an animal of Kodeshim. It could be that the animal was born Yotzei Dofen, now you want to be Magdishit. Could be that it's a derivative of a mother who's already Kodesh, and now it's born into Kedusha, and it comes out Yotzei Dofen. So I need a pasuk for each of them. Gemara says, V'kasavar, V'ladot Kodeshim, V'aviyatan in Kedushim. He holds that Vladot Kodeshim only become Kodesh v'Avyatan when they come into existence, meaning that once they are born, that's when the Kodesh devolves upon them. And therefore, the Yotzei Dofen here precedes the issue of Kodesh. Rashi, eliminates it from the girsa. It's very unusual to find this, that we have a Gemara that has a girsa in it, that Rashi says, I don't like the girsa, and I think the girsa is wrong. Venira, say Rashi, near Venai, to Logar Sinan. Hey, we don't put this in. Perish Mishubashu. It's a mistake. Kol Shukain, Lamandamar Mishat Yitzirayim Kedushim. Certainly, according to the one who says that from Shad Yitzirah, from the time of conception there, Kedoshim, Dainu B'meimo, Ditzrech Lemute Mizot, will certainly need a pasuk there to exclude it. Over there, the Kedusha precedes the Yotzei Dofen. So over there, for certain, we'll need a pasuk to exclude it. Why would you only need a pasuk for the case where, at the moment it leaves the mother, that's when it becomes Kodesh, it happens B'vat Achat, happens simultaneous. Rashi says, it's obvious, if you have a pasuk there, you certainly need a pasuk to take care of the case of Yitzirah. So Rashi says, I don't understand why the Gemara has this here at all, Abka Savar. Tosafot defends the Girsa. That's why we have it in our Gemaras, even though Rashi doesn't like it. Again, these are unusual circumstances. Usually when Rashi says, I don't like the Girsa is gone from the Gemara. But here it stayed in because the Tosafot says, Venir the Gorislet. Says, we are Gorisit. Urabuta Nakte. And that's exactly the Kiddush. The Afagav de Beitenein Kedoshin. V'lo kadam hekteishan lepsulan. And over here, the Kodesh did not precede the psul. It's trich grali milute. We need a pasuk to exclude it. Kevin da psul lo bat chila. Since the psul didn't come first, ela bavat achat. Rashi says the bigger chiddush would be that if it's mishat yitzira, mishat yitzira, it's Kodesh, then you need a pasuk to tell me that even though it's Kodesh first, you need to get rid of it. So why would you say that the Gemara say, bavladokachim evtanyein? That's what it says. No, I can tell you that it's even bigger chiddush when you say that it happens at bavat achat. Because here, even though the psul didn't come before the kodesh, I still need a pasuk in this case to eliminate it. Because I don't made a thought here. It's bevat achat. Maybe I don't need a pasuk to exclude it over here. Or maybe it wasn't excluded. So here, the chiddush is that we do exclude it. Tosafot says that you can't write over here bekasavar, like Rashi would suggest. If it wrote over here, mishat yitziratan, that would have worked well for Rashi. Tosafot says the Gemara can't do that because Rabbi Shimon himself holds that kodoshim behavyatan in kedoshim. That was the only option that you could have had. So either it is written, and Tosafot says that's the Chiddush, or Rashi would say just eliminate the Girsa here because it's irrelevant. No matter when you think Kodeshim become Kodesh b'mei iman, either way you're going to need the pasuk to exclude them. Those are the two ways to read it. Either way, I have a necessity for two psukim. I have a necessity of a pasuk of an animal that was already Yotzei Dofen and I'm being makdishit, and a pasuk to tell me that a case where the animal is Kodesh or born to a mother is Kodesh, and then becomes a Yotzei Dofen. In that instance, it's also excluded from the Mizbeach. Ella, Iye Emar, it's a Dibachor. If you say Bechor, the Petarechem Nafka, Petarechem is the only thing. You don't have an animal that's Kodesh giving birth to a Bechor. Bechor is only something that comes from an animal that's Chudnin, and only happens at the time of birth. The whole Kodesh only takes place at that moment. So there's only one pasuk you need. You just need to know, is it Petarechem or not Petarechem? One pasuk would take care of everything. It says, based on that, it makes a lot more sense to say the Yotzei Dofen that Rabbi Shimon is speaking about is Yotzei Dofen of Kodshim Bichlau, not the Yotzei Dofen of Bichor. Where it says, Achanami Mistavra, that makes a lot of sense. Miktoni, what are the other examples there? Haroveya, Vanirba, Vamukse, Vanevad, Vakilayim. So Hani, Mehochanavko, these are learnt out from over here. We have an exclusion here for all these things from Zot. What do you mean? Why do you have to exclude them from here? Each one of these has a pasuk that excludes them. Because we have, in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, when it talks about the Ola, over there, what seems to be extraneous language is used. Which is, it says, Mina Beima, Mina Tzon, Mina Bakar, Mina Eiz, Mina Keves. So it gives you all these items that, if you knew one of them, if you went to the most detailed, you'd know all the other issues. You'd know Beima. You would know Tzon. If you told me that it was an Eiz, if you told me that it was a Keves, why do I need so many descriptive terms of the Korban? The Gemara says that that is a miut. All these descriptive terms are a miutim. And says, mina behema. It has to be from an animal, but lo kol behema. Which behema is excluded? Lo tziya roveya vanirba. It comes to exclude roveya nirba. Mina bakar. If it's the bakar, what does that teach me? Lo tziya ta nevad. Mina tzon. Lo tziya ta mukse. Mina tzon. Lo tziya ta Nogeach. So all of these items are learnt out of miutim that are found in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra by the Parashat Ola. That a behema teaches me that it's not all behemot are ksherim. Roveya nirba, any bestiality, out of the picture. Mina bakar takes out nevad, an animal that was worshipped. According to Rav Yossi Aglili, we're talking about here where kochim kalim are mamon balim, so that they could be oser, something that doesn't belong to them. Mina tzon is lotziya ta mukse, something that is designated for Takrovet Avodah Zarah, again, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Minatzon is lotziat anogeach, an animal that gores and has the death penalty associated with it for goring. Over here, because either it was done by Eid Echad or Yedei the Baalim, there is no death penalty. So mitzad chulin, it can be eaten. Mitzad kodoshim, it's excluded because it killed somebody. V'tu kilayim mihocha nafka, we learn out kilayim from this pasuk here. Halamiyotam nafka, we learn it out. Shor okesif oez. We learn this in Bechorod. And the Gemara says, saying shor, prat the kilayim, oez, prat the nidmeh. Shor comes to teach me that you can't have a mixed breed go on the mizbeach. Oez comes to teach me that even if it's not a mixed breed, but the baby, newborn baby, looks different than its parents. It looks like a different species than its parents. It's also excluded from the mizbeach. So here you have a list of items that all have psukim from somewhere else. So what do I need them for? Ela it's three chod shrei krai. I need two psukim by all of these psulim. Chad beimat chulin. One for a case where the animal is born as in beimat chulin, and then you want to be makdishit afterwards. Chad beimat kodoshim. And the other instance where it's a beimat kodoshim that is giving birth to such an item. The mother is kodesh, and she's producing this beimat. So also over here, achanami tzrich shrei krai. So too by us. But the case of Yotzei Dofen, it makes sense to have two psukim. One for the manifestation of chulin, where you're trying to make a kodesh. And one for the case where it's born to a mother who is kodesh. So all of these psulim, when we're talking about beimat kodeshim, have a possibility of being born, and the issue being born to an animal that is kodesh. That's not true by Bechor. Bechor only has one manifestation. That's when it's born to Chulin, if it's Peter Rechem. So therefore it only needs one Pasuk. All these other items require two Pasukim. And Yotzei Dofen would fit in nicely with the rest of the items that are enumerated here. So that would be a proof to Rabbi Yochanan's position that Rabbi Shimon by Kodeshim says that Yotzei Dofen is a Psul. A woman is having birth pangs for 3 days, having sightings of blood for 3 days during her Yemei Ziva, and having birth pangs. And then the baby is born, cesarean section. The Chachamim say that it's a Yolet Bezov because you have here 3 days of Damim during her Yemei Ziva, which makes her into Zavag Dola. She's not protected by Leida because the cesarean section is not called a Leida according to the Chachamim. And Rabbi Shimon, of course, disagree. The Yotzei Dofen is a full-fledged Leida. Caesarean section is a Leida. And by being a Leida, it covers the 3 days of Damim that she saw before, because she's Yoledet B'Koshi. She has the pains all the way going in there. The blood that she sees is all associated with the Leida. Then the next statement here of the Braito is somewhat cryptic. And this is what the Gemara has to discuss. Dama Yotzei Misham Tameh. Dam that comes out from there is Tamei, Rabbi Shimon, Mitaher. And Rabbi Shimon's Mitaher, we don't know what this means. So Bishlam Aresh, I understand the first part of the Braita, Rabbi Shimon the Tamei, Rabbanan the Tamayu. As we explained, this is Rabbi Shimon the Shitato, and Rabbanan the Shitatam. Ela b'seifa, my plige. What are they arguing about in the Seifa? Truthfully, it should be just the opposite, if they were going the Shitatam. The Shitatam, you would actually say the opposite, that Rabbi Shimon would believe that the Damim is Tamei, and the Chachamim would believe that Damim is Tahor. Because the Chachamim believe it's not a Leida. It's not a Leida. Whatever Damim the woman's seeing now is Damaka. It's like an injury. Whereas Rabbi Shimon, who thinks that it's a Leida, the Dam that she's seeing is Dam Leida, which makes her Tameah. The Dam will be Tameh from that fact that it's Dam Leida. So you would actually assume just the opposite in their position. So that can't be what they're speaking about. Baby was born cesarean section, but the damim went out through the birth canal. So the dam going out, the derech rechem, b'shloshi yemei akoshi, before the leida, and the rabbanan say that she is a yoled epizov. Whatever came out through the birth canal was not covered by the birth. Because Rabbi Shimon says it is covered by the birth. Rabbi Yosef says, I don't understand that explanation, Ravina. Number one, Chada, Hainu Reisha. Oh, now all you've done is created another case, just like the Reisha. You just created two cases in the Braita that are identical. Ve'od, Misham. It says that the Dam came out from there, Makom Vlad Mashma. Misham doesn't mean somewhere else. It means from the same place that the Vlad exited. It doesn't seem to indicate that the two places that it's exiting. Ella, Amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says this is the explanation of the Braita. The dam and the vlad came out through the cesarean section. They're arguing in this issue of whether the rechem uterus automatically makes the dam tamei. My savar makor mekomo tamei. The Rabbanan believe that the makor is a place that has tumatue. The mar savar makor mekomo tahor. That the makor itself is tahor. When we're talking about makor tamei, makor tahor, we know that if a woman has a sighting that moves from the rechem into the bayit tachitzon and exits the woman, that damim will make her tamei tumat nida. Unless it's covered by the leida, but then you have tamei tumat leida. The damim itself also has a din of avatuma. It's a din of a nida. So that would be the case when it's a normal sighting of the menstrual blood. But that's not true when the blood comes out of the rechem, but does not exit the normal way. In the case of a cesarean section, where the blood is exiting, it's otherwise what we call blood of injury. It would be no different than blood that came out of a hand, an arm, anywhere else on the body, except for the fact that it derives from the uterus. Here they have a machloket about whether something that derives from the uterus has tuma to it. Now it's not going to have tuma like a regular nida. Right. We saw this earlier in the Masechta. And here when we're talking about tuma, we're talking about tumat erev. Question whether this damim contains within it a problem of tumat erev. It's not going to make the woman into a nida. Seifa of the Braita is talking about the issue of what's the status of this dam. This dam that exits over here, what is the status of it? So this tipa dam, any dam that comes out, even though it came out derech dofen, and it's not considered a re'iya for nida, so it will not make the woman into tumat shiv'a, but nevertheless the tipa itself carries with it a tumat maga. And if you touch the damim that exited the mikor, you'll be tamei tumat erev. Whereas Rabbi Shimon will say the damim that exit from the mikor, there's nothing about them that's special unless you are nida or leida. And therefore, any tipa that you touch will have nothing. It'll be like dam makah and have no relevance to what we're speaking about over here. And that'll be true also when you have the damim that exit through the rechem and it came out normally. And it was through the birth canal, the baby and the dam came out. And this is a case where she had koshi before at least the hand, when she had birth pangs going in with blood sightings all the way into the leida. Over there, you'd have the same machloket. Even though both will agree it's covered by the leida, the question is, what's the status of that damim? Rishim is going to say that dam came from the mekor. The mekor is makomo tahor, covered by the leida. This dam does not have a status of dam nida or dam tamei. Whereas according to the chachamim, even though it's covered by the leida and does not make tamei, nevertheless the blood itself is tamei tumater because it came from the mekor. So this machloket will revolve around whether the uterus by itself creates a form of tuma. So I'm Reish Lakish, the divrei amitamei bidam mitamei biisha. Divya mitaher bidam, mitaher biisha. Rish Lakish says that there's a correlation between the one who says mikoro tamei, that if the dam is tamei from the mikor, therefore the woman is also tameya. Even though it came out derech dofen, the fact that the dam is tamei is enough to make the woman into a nida. On the other hand, the one who says tahor says that when it comes out that way it's tahor, he believes that the woman herself remains tehora. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees and says, af the divrei mitamei bidam, mitaher biisha. Even according to the one who says that the damim are tmeim, nevertheless, he says that the isha herself remains tehora, and that there is no din of nida for this woman. As the Rabbi Yochanan the tamei, Rabbi Yochanan is l'shitato. Tam Rabbi Yochanan mishun Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, minayin shen isha tmeya, ad sheyaseh midava derech ervata. How do I know that until her menstrual blood flows out through the birth canal, she is not tameya? Shenemar, v'ish asher yishkav isha dava, v'gila et ervata, et mikora hera. Melameid, from this you learn, she'en isha tameya, ad sheyaseh midava derech ervata. The fact that the Torah associates the dava with the ervata, so therefore you see that Damida is associated with Derech Ervata. So it must exit from the place that she has Erva, or the place that she would become impregnated, and therefore it has to go out the birth canal to make anyone into a Nida. That's the source for Rabbi Yochanan Shita, that if it comes out Derech Dofen, even if you think Mekorot Tameh, the woman herself remains Tahora. Now, she's Tahora from Nida, she will be Tameh Tumat Maga. In the dam, when it exits her, even Derech Dofen is in contact with her. Since it's in contact with her, she'll be Tmeya from the contact with the dam, but she will not be a Tmeya Nida from the sighting. It's not a Re'iya, it's a Maga. Rabbi Yochanan, who says that, even according to one who says, Mekoro Makom Tameh, Isha remains Tehora, she's Tehora from Tumat Nidah, because it's not a sighting that makes her into the Nidah, because it's not Tumat Riyah, but she still has Tumat Maga, which is that she came into contact with Tamei blood that exited her. It's Tumat Erev. Right, this won't be Tumat Nidah, which is 7 days, and has all the other implications that come along with Nidah. If you have a chatichat basar that is expelled by the mikor, then there's a sighting that makes her tmeah. Shenemar, yan hishafeich nechushteich vatigaleh. It's not with the yud, it's with the hey in the pasuk ervateich. So the pashtut of pasuk is speaking about how Bnei Israel's infidelity will be exposed, and it says because you have spilled out your shame and exposed your nakedness. But Rashi over here says that the Gemara is using the word nechushteich not to mean shame, but rather to mean shulayich, your souls, your base, meaning something that comes out of the mikor, and therefore something that is hishafech nechushateich, something that is dropped out of the mikor, v'tigalei ervateich, is called something that has exited the erva and will have a din of tuma. Namai. Well, what are you talking about here? Either tumat shiva, if you're talking about being a nida, dama marachman of alochaticha. We've already discussed this, that it has to be a blood sighting. It cannot be a chatichat basar. It's not dam nida. It's not dam nida unless it's coagulated blood. It's not classified as dam nida. We're not talking about a nida. Ela lutumat erev. It must be talking about here that it makes into tumat erev. Tumat maga. And she's expelling something that's coming from the mikor. The mikor is expelling something now that is tamei. The tumat touches her on the way out. Because it touches her on the way out, she's tamei. Ah, tumat erev. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Mikor shehizia kishtei tipei margaliot. Tmeya. If you have the uterus have two drops, two clear drops that look like sweat that came out of the uterus, tmeya. Bamai. Again, what is the tumah we're talking about here? Ilem lutumat shiva. If you're talking about tumat nida, chamisha damim tmeim biisha. Vitu lo. We know there are five colors that make an isha tmeya tumat nida, and clear was not one of them. And there are no more than that. Ella, tumat erev. Again, the tumat erev. But Dav Katarti, only she has a sighting of two of these drops, of Al-Khada Imami Al-Ma'atya. See, one drop will say that it came from the lining of the birth canal, the vaginal canal, and really was sweat or some other mucus that's from there. But once you have two drops, it's an indication of exiting the mikor. Since it exited the mikor, that item is tamei. And when it comes out, it's tamei tumat maga, can create the tumat maga and make someone into tumat erev. And the woman, when it's expelled from her, will have contact with it and become mea tumat erev. Mark continues, kol anashim tamim bebeit achitzon. So the distinction that we saw earlier in the Masechta was brought in our Mishnah over here as well, that there's a difference between the Tumat Aisha and the Tumat of a Ish. By Tumat Ish, it has to exit the body before you're classified as being Tameh. That's true by a Zav, that's true by Shechvat Zera. That's not true by a woman. A woman has to exit the uterus, does not have to exit the woman. As soon as it moves into the Beit HaChitzon, she's already Tmeah. So Mar says, I knew Beit HaChitzon. What is classified as Beit HaChitzon? Samarish Lakish, call Shitinoket Yoshevet, when a young girl sits on the ground, Vinirate. So if you can see the Makoma Erva when the young girl sits, that's called Bayat Achitzon. Samarib Yochanan, Otomakom Galuihu Eitzel Sheretz. That is not considered to be a Makom that is Nistar, and that you would call that Bayat Achitzon, that's equivalent of exiting the body of the woman. That area that you can see when a young girl is sitting on the ground, that area is classified as being outside the woman's body already. And, for instance, if a sheretz touched her there, she would be tamei tumat sheretz. She would have an ava tumat that touched her, she'd become tamei'a. Whereas, if a sheretz was in contact with a woman in the, quote-unquote, beit achitzon, that is something that's internal to the woman, and will either be tumat bua or tumat maga beit askarim, which don't convey tumat. In that instance, you don't have tumah there. So that can't be what we're speaking about. We just said in the Mishnah, the distinction is between exiting the woman's body versus it being internal. By a man, it has to exit the body. By a woman, it does not have to exit the body. Rabbi Yochanan says, Rish Lakish, what you're saying is Beit HaChitzon is already considered to be outside the woman's body. So that would make them equivalent. Then that Beit HaChitzon is equivalent of it exiting by the man. And that cannot be the distinction in the Mishnah. Elam Rabbi Yochanan ad ben hashinayim. Beit HaChitzon is considered the placement until ben hashinayim, to the point in the vaginal canal where you have these little pieces of flesh that hang down. Ibayilu, ben hashinayim atzman. That area where the basar is hanging down is kilifnim o kilichutz. Is that considered to be internal or external? Tashma, Tani Rabbi Zakkai ad ben Ashinayim. Until the ben Ashinayim etzmam kelifnim. Ben Ashinayim themselves are considered to be internal, and then it has to pass that to reach into the Beit HaChitzon. But the Mita Tana, in a Braita, we have the definition by Makom Disha. So my Makom Disha, Amarava Makom Shashamash Dash, the place until which the Aver reaches within the vaginal canal. If she cohabitates with her husband, the husband would reach inside the vaginal canal. So that will determine what is considered to be exiting. I mean, they have your uterus, then you have the Makom until which the Aver reaches. So the point from which it leaves the uterus and then crosses over the line where the Aver reaches, then will be moving from the Bifnim until Bayit HaChitzon. Tarabana, Bifsara, Lameid, Shemitam'a Bifnim Kibachutz. Bifsara, that teaches us, it's the limud that we have from the Pasuk, that internally she does have Tumah by Tumat Nida, as opposed to outside. I only know that that's true by a Nida, because the Pasuk is written by Tumata Nida. Because it says, Isha ki tiyezava, dam yezova bivsara. Bivsara means even internally, it be classified as dam nida and shubi nida, shubatimim tiyevi nidata, chonogea bayit madarev. That's the basis for the exceptions, bivsara. So now the Gemara says, zava minayin. How do I know that applies not only to nida, but even to a zava ktana, zava gdola? So tamalomar, zova bivsara. The fact that he uses the term of zova, which means flowing over here, but that terminology, because it says, Isha ki tiyezava, dam yezova bivsara, and doesn't say, you know, some other term that it could have used. So therefore, since it used a verb that reflects ziba, therefore also the same din will apply to a zova. Paletet shikvat zera minayin. How do I know that the woman who expels shikvat zera has the same din? Tamalomar iye. It says dam iye zova bibsara. The iye teaches us even paletet shikvat zera. A shikvat zera will not have to exit the woman in order for her to tmeya paletet shikvat zera. Just have to go into the bayit hachitzon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, daya ki bolala. She should be no better than her bolala. The boel, ma bolala, ini metameh shetetzei tu malachutz. Just like the man will not become tameh until the shikvat zera exits him. Afi ini metameh shetetzei tu matalachutz. So too for the woman. She should not have to be tameh tu mat, koletet shikvat zera until it exits her body. Why should she have a different din by shikvat zera than the one who made her, quote unquote, tameh, who gave her the shikvat zera? So Rabbi Shimon, is that really true? Rabbi Shimon thinks that the paletet shikvat zera has to exit the body. Vatanya, we have a braita. The braita reflects a pasuk that is written by Bia of shikvat zera. It's the isha asher yishkav ish ota shikvat zera rechutzu b'mayim mitamu ad arev. It's a special din in Bia that a woman who has Bia and shikvat zera is deposited in her, she is tameh tumat erev. The man's tameh because he had shikvat zera and exit him. So that makes him tameh tumat erev. A woman, even though it's tumat asterim, it's internal to her, she has tumat erev as well. And that comes out of this pasuk. It says virachatzu b'mayim vitamu ad arev. They're both tmeim tumat erev. They have to go to the mikveh and they're tameh for a single day. So on that pasuk, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Chima ba zelulam deinu. What is this pasuk coming to teach us? Ilinya no geya b'shichvat zera. To come and teach us, someone who comes into contact with shichvat zera, hakvar ne'amar lamata, and Parshat Emor, when it speaks about the Kohanim, over there already talks about tumat maga in shichvat zera. Oish, and it learns it out of the pasuk of Oish. Ella, mipnei shetumat beda starimi. Why is the pasuk coming to teach us this? Because otherwise you would have thought that this is not tameh. Why? Because it's internal tumah. And internal tumah does not make a person tameah. So tumat beda starim einat mitamah. So this woman is not tameah because the shikvat zera is inside of her. It has no impact on her. Ella shikzerat hakatupu. It's gzerat hakatup. That even though the shikvat zera is internal to her, she is tameah. So that goes against what Rabbi Shimon just said. Rabbi Shimon just said here, paletet shikvat zera is only tmeah once it exited her body. Well, it's inside of her, it has no impact on her. Yet now, Rabbi Shimon's saying that when she has bia with a man, she's tmeah, even though it's tmeah beit asarim, it's a gzerat hakatuvu. So Gemara says, what are you talking about? These are two different dinim. These are two separate dinim. Kan b'mishameshet, kan b'paletet. You're talking about, one is where she has bia, she's automatically tmeya from the bia because of the deposit of shikvat zera inside of her. Period. Number two is, if she's paletet the shikvat zera, if after a time period, the shikvat zera exits her body, then if she'll become Tameah when it exits her body. And those are two different dinim. So Gemara says, Tipuklei da shimsha. Wait a minute. By definition, in order to be poleta shechvat zera, she has to have had bi'ah before that. The only way she has shechvat zera is because she cohabitated. So she should be tmei already because she cohabitated. So why are we worrying about poleta shechvat zera? She's ready tmei'ah just because she cohabitated. The case is, bishatavla, l'shimusha. Like what you just said to Shaul, she went to the mikveh after she had bi'ah. It's only two materev, so she's done. And then the shechvat zera will come out later. We already learned that poleta shechvat zera is for 72 hours. It's still efficacious, the shechvat zera. If it comes out in 72 hours, it's mitamahar. So if that's the case, when it happens after she went to the mikveh, she's through ora already from being mishameshet. So it happened day one, she goes to the mikveh. Day three, she sees shechvat zera. So Rav Shimon will say, in that case, only when it exits her body. So the memra dimishameshet bitumat erev sagila. Whoa. That means that if a woman has bi'ah, cohabitates, she's only tmei'ah tumat erev. The answer is yes. Mina Torah, she's only tmei'ah tumat erev. But, v'homa rova, rova has a gzeira, which is, mishameshet kol shosh yamim asura lechol b'tshuma. Woman who had bi'ah may not eat tshuma for the next, or the subsequent 3 days. She efshar la shelo tiflot. The shechvat zera has to come out. It's gonna come out, and we know that it'll have to come out within the next 3 days. So we're not certain as to when it comes out. Therefore, we'll have a chashash that this woman is tamei tuma'at shechvat zera, poleta shechvat zera for the next 3 days. And she's tamei'ah. So even if she goes to the mikvah day one, it's gonna do absolutely nothing. Because we're gonna be chashash that it came out. So, achamaya skinan, so what's the case here? She dvilua b'mita. She didn't move. She had bi'ah. And they dip her in, they dump her in the mikveh with her bed, everything. They go straight into the mikveh without her moving. So she's not going to have an expulsion of the shechvat zera. Michlal, tikiga marova da azlahi bikara b'tavla. So we're going to suggest now that Rova's case is a case where she got up, went to the mikveh on her own 2 feet. That's the case. Maybe she expelled it on her way to the mikveh. She expelled it on the way to her mikveh. She's done. And she doesn't have to wait the 3 days. Maybe there's some residual left. How do you know that she expelled the whole thing? Then it should not be Shema Tiflot that Rabbi says. It should be Shema Tishtayer. Using the long lashon there for being choshesh that maybe there's some residual left, you have to use a different descriptive term. Rabbi's case is also it's a case where she was in the mikveh on her bed and she didn't move. Well, in both cases, if she didn't move, then why were we worried about her being poleted shechvat zera? Well, it's a difference. So, lokasha. Kan b'mitapechet. Kan abishen mitapechet. One case is a case where she turned over, and another case where she didn't turn over. In the case where she remained in the same position, that's a case where we don't worry about it coming out later, because it's not going to come out. Whereas mitapechet, if she turns over in her bed, then we worry about the fact that the shechvat zera might be expelled. And since it might be expelled over time, that's what Rava says, he has to wait the 3 days. She's not allowed to eat truma for those 3 days. Rashi does bring another lashon, which is, lishna achrina mitapechet, b'shat tashmish. She turns over at the time tashmish, v'in hazera niklat berechem. And therefore, the shechvat zera does not go into the rechem. This was supposedly a form of birth control in their day. The Gemara discusses in other places that the woman's mitapechet. She turns over and that doesn't allow the shechvat zera to enter into the uterus, so it cannot fertilize, cause the woman to conceive. So in that case, it'll start dripping out over time because it's not in the rechem. But if it was that it deposited into the rechem, then when it's expelled, it expelled in one shot. So if you saw it come out already, then it's done. That's the other Lishna and Rashi. Depends on where the shechvat zera is internally in the woman. If it's in the vaginal canal, then it comes out in drips and drabs. Whereas if it's in the uterus, it'll come out in one shot. Rava akrokoi, and Rava has come to define for us what the pasuk means. V'achigamar, kika tabrachman brachatzu b'mayim v'tamua da'arev, when it says in the pasuk that they have to go to the mikveh and they're tamei to the arev, b'she'ina mitapechet, that's only true when she stays still on her bed, doesn't move. Abo mitapechet, if she flips over, kol shlosh yamim asura lechol b'tshuma, for the subsequent 3 days she may not eat b'tshuma, she efshar la shelo tiflot. It's impossible that she will not expel the shechvat zera. And again, for 3 days, is based on what we saw earlier in the Gemara, that shechvat zera is only viable for 3 days. After that, it's misrach sariach, becomes rotten, putrid, and it's not mitameh, the woman, anymore, because it's not classified as shechvat zera. Within the first 72 hours, since it's classified as shechvat zera, within that period of time, the woman is classified as being tameh or poleta shechvat zera. So that explained to us Rabbi Shimon's position. Rabbi Shimon's position again is that Pleta Shechvat Zera is no better than the Bo'ala, and she only becomes Tmei'ah if the Shechvat Zera exits her body. Then she becomes Tmei'ah. Rabbi Shimon does distinguish between her cohabitating and Pleta Shechvat Zera. But cohabitation, there is a Gzeret HaKadur that she's Tmei'ah, irrespective of it exiting her body. It's from the process of Biyah, that's Gzeret HaTuv, she's Tmei'ah Tumat Erev. On the other hand, the Paletet Shechvat Zera is something that lasts for the subsequent 3 days, unless we know for certain that the Shechvat Zera came out. But again, she will only be Tmei'ah when it exits her body. Okay, we'll stop over here.